Back to centeredness, we have Jim on the line, and he took the challenge of watching some Islamic beheading videos. And the reason that I challenged listeners to do that is that once you watch and listen to one of those videos, and particularly multiples of them, you're profoundly affected. You can no longer deny the association between Islam and the most gruesome forms of violence. How many religions have a god named Allah?
Just one that I'm aware of.
Yeah, only one. And when they're screaming, Allahu Akbar, what are they saying about their god, Allah?
Well, I believe they're saying that he's greater or bigger or older, something along those lines.
Correct. That is true. That he's existed longer, that he's greater in terms of influence. That's what they're saying about him. So they're doing this, promoting their god. When someone is committing a terrorist act, a ruthless act, and they are shouting the name of their deity and quoting from their scripture, is there any way to disassociate the act from the religion?
Not in my mind, no.
No. If 99% of terrorist acts in the world are perpetrated by adherence to a singular religion that represents about 20% of the world's population, is there any way mathematically, logically, empirically, you can disassociate the religion from terrorism?
If you entered that in an honest court, I think you would. I don't think there could be an objection to that.
No, not a chance. When you are forced to confront the reality that 99% of terrorist acts are perpetrated by Muslims, and that those Muslims, while committing those acts, are confessing to the crime by screaming Allahu Akbar, is there any way to make that connection between those two facts and not hold Islam accountable?
Well, apparently, because we're doing it. I mean, it's...
Can you do it rationally? Can you do it morally? Or do you have to be irrational and immoral to do it?
I think it's more along the lines of immoral. I think there are very rational people that are doing this for various, probably numerous, agendas. You keep my secrets, I'll keep yours, and many others, but definitely it's immoral, absolutely.
So we have a broken conscience. Our, to use Yahweh's term, our nesama has been rendered ineffective.
Those that could just watch that and pass by and go up and have a sandwich, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it is astonishing that we as a world accept Islam. You know, went to a store the other day. They had five or six products from a company that has a big symbol in the middle of their Saffron, I think, is the name of the company. And they have a big symbol that says they are selling halal food. And nowhere on the package does it identify halal with Islam. And yet halal is not only Satan's first name, it is Satan's name, halal. But halal food is only Islamic. And yet they don't identify it with Islam, and they sell it in markets where women are the preponderance of the shoppers, and it's a religious food of a religion that terrorizes females.
But if that's
why would we do that?
If that's all you know, that familiarity is comforting to many people. Doesn't matter right or wrong, as long as it's familiar. I can deal with familiar.
Okay. Well, familiar, so the 1% of Americans that are Muslims would be familiar with halal, but why not put a big sign there right on the front of the package? This is Islamic food. So that those who aren't familiar with what halal means aren't beguiled into buying it.
Why expose that which you don't want to expose?
But why is a business be so deceitful?
Money.
You know, when you make money on a immoral basis. Can you complain when your employees steal from you on an immoral basis? If you're willing to deceive as a business, if you're willing to sell a product that deliberately deceives, then why would you be able to complain when a when an employee steals from you?
Well, don't ask me to. It's more like do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. Broken the psalm again for corporate America. In addition, this was a Vaughn store that I went to that was selling halal food. And, you know, I've already wrote a letter and left Fresh Market. In the case of Fresh Market, the halal presentation was a disproportionate amount of their frozen foods. In the case of Vaughn's, it's an insignificant amount. But the situation is the same. Go in and recognize that Muslims are mutilating 250 million little girls, that they're sexually abusing and assaulting hundreds of millions of women, that in the Islamic world, 90% of Muslim women are physically and sexually abused. And you're going to endorse their food? What's wrong with you?
Well,
you know, where have we lost our we've completely lost our way, obviously.
I don't think people want to think that deeply, honestly. They just don't want to. Life is far too complicated, and I've got too many other things to do, and I'm just trying to pay my bills. But don't bog down.
So when America was confronted with the video of Ray Rice with the two left jabs to his fiancée's face and dragging her down the out of the elevator, they were forced to confront domestic violence, and America got so enraged the NFL had to do something it didn't want to do, which was suspend him and counter a previous decision. What if more Americans did what you did and watched an infinitely more gruesome attack that is premeditated and motivated by a religious God, Allah and Islam? What if they were to do that?
I think that you would have a footing for your quarantine idea.
Yeah, you would.
At least, I mean, that's the bare minimum.
Yes.
You have to start by exposing the viciousness and correlate that to why is it vicious.
Right. So now you understand why this morning I said there's a real story here, and that is by watching the individual assault, even though it was a thousand times less violent than an Islamic beheading. The fact that it enraged enough people that they forced an institution far more popular than the American government, the NFL, to reject, quarantine, if you will, a player, to dismiss it completely, reject it. That if Americans saw an infinitely more gruesome beheading, and they associate that beheading because they listened to the screams of Allahu Akbar, and they recognized they were citing the Quran and Hadith, that if Americans did that, if the media actually played those beheading videos, that we'd have a groundswell telling our government to stop selling weapons to Muslims, stop engaging in the Middle East on behalf of Muslims, stop protecting the terrorists. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think it'd make a profound difference?
Especially now that you have an Islamic state. There is an entity that is actually using the word Islamic. You've never had that before. You've never had anything close to that before.
Yeah. That's why, of course, the President of the United States, in his speech, he's not going to say Islamic State.
No.
He'll continue to refer to them as ISIS or ISIL. Because he does not want to say Islamic State.
I don't think I've ever heard him say ISIS.
No. I don't think I have either. And I know that he has never said Islamic State. And what he's going to do in this speech is just as he did previously. He's going to deliberately disassociate Islam from the behavior of these terrorists.
Obviously.
And in so doing, he is going to create an enemy that is completely falsified. And by the way, when he makes the announcement tomorrow, there is absolutely nothing America can accomplish with bullets and bombs. All we have done thus far is made the situation worse, particularly when we're unwilling to address the core problem. Islam is more deadly than any disease ever conceived by humankind. There's no disease ever that has been as ruthless or as deadly as Islam, as destructive as Islam, and we're still unwilling to deal with it.
But it's so well hidden. There are too many people that, for whatever reason, are actively...
Yeah, I'm not sure that hidden is the right word. It is very well justified. You've got this president, the president before him, the prime minister of the UK, and politicians, academicians, and media spokespeople the world over, who are deliberately and knowingly excusing the religion. Creating a false impression that Islam isn't a terrorist dogma, that Muhammad wasn't a ruthless terrorist. But he was. Islam is a terrorist dogma. Muhammad said, I've become victorious with terror. He inspired and led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. He was absolutely ruthless, despicable. The evidence isn't hidden. It's in the Sirah.
True.
It's in the Tariq. Which are the Sirah is the biography of Muhammad. The Tariq is the history of Islam's formation. It's in the Hadith and it's in the Quran. There isn't a Muslim on the planet that is unaware that Muhammad was a ruthless terrorist. There isn't a Muslim on the planet that doesn't recognize that Muhammad was a pedophile, that he was a rapist, that he was a slave trader. They all know it. It's not hidden.
Well, I'm speaking from a Western point of view. Yeah, it's hidden. I watched the fake video also. I got a hold of that.
Mm-hmm.
Compared that to a real beheading.
Yes. They're night and day, aren't they? I mean, it's so beyond all of the flaws, like the knife never touches his neck, beyond the fact that he's using the wrong hand, beyond the fact that the head that's sitting on top of the body. Does not have the body that's laying on the ground has no neck, even though you look at where the knife was placed. You know, you can look at all the flaws in the video, but just beyond that, if you compare the rhetoric and the scene, they aren't even remotely the same.
Yeah, it was composed for Western consumption.
Absolutely. We're going to return to Shattering Myths, and we also have our good friend Larry with us, and please stay with us, Jim. We'll be back. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We've got Jim calling in from Arizona that took the challenge to actually watch Islamic beheading videos. And in so doing, Jim, you also watched the purported beheading video that was ISIS and Jim Foley. And having seen an authentic Islamic beheading video where they're quoting from the Quran and where there are multiple people shouting Allahu Akbar, and they're gloating over the savagery and the victimization of the individual. You were able to immediately recognize this is not even remotely the same. The only way that it could be the same is that the Islamic State is practicing an entirely different religion than those who have beheaded Americans. And by the way, it was also the Islamic State, as the Islamic State in Iraq, that did it. They just have nothing in common.
No, it's very sterile.
Yeah. And, you know, the United States has got to know that it's fake. But yet it wants to justify another war. So it's going to use it to justify bombing in Syria.
It certainly appears that way. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that video, the fact that it's, if you just look at the setting, talking about the Western consumption,
there's
nothing threatening about it. It's in a desert, in a far, far away land, a small group of people. You know, there's no threat to the West. Come on, it's okay. It's way over there. Don't worry about it.
Right. Yeah. And in addition to that, there's no Islamic statements whatsoever.
Nope.
And so it's don't be worried about the religion and... And, oh, by the way, we're not going to show any gruesomeness, so you're not going to be riled up. No. No problem. You're going to bomb us, and, you know, we're going to have some consequences. But that was it. Yeah, it was pretty pathetic.
They're easy to spot, you know, just, you know, the guys in the really funky outfit. It's easy to spot.
Yeah. And by the way, when Muslims kill, they're proud of it. They don't wear masks.
Oh, yeah.
They're proud of it.
Yeah. Some more.
Larry, what do you, we got Larry on the line as well. Larry, what do you think about
the fraudulent
between
beheading or the
the connection between domestic violence in America and America becoming so enraged at Ray Rice, and yet no one seems to be
punched his fiance. Is that
and yet don't seem to care that you got a religion out there that is abusing hundreds of millions of women.
Well, they abuse that. They abuse other people. They abuse anyone that's not Sunni. They abuse any animal.
Well, they abuse any Sunni. I mean, the women, a Sunni woman is abused as badly as a Shiite, as a Zoroastrian, as a Christian. That Sunni women have the same amount of rights as do all of the enemies of the Islamic State.
Yeah, whatever. But what I'm telling you, the Islamic State being Sunni, they'll abuse anybody that's not Sunni,
right.
beyond any belief system. And I think, you know, you asked a question earlier. Why do you think there's no outcry? Why do you think?
Right.
You know, the media has a tendency to side with the government. They're no longer the watchdog.
Correct. They do.
They push the government a line.
Yeah,
They toe that line and
they celebrate the media. I mean, the military, for example, constantly celebrating the military in the media.
Yeah,
and they represent
the safe, but you can't protect our southern borders. And thanks for shaking us down at the airport, but you can't protect the southern border. I mean. This is past the point of surreal, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing very realistic about what our government's doing other than, you know, selling somebody.
You know the biggest reason, by the way, that the southern border is so porous? If you were to get down to the core reason that there are so many trying to cross that border, you could solve, if you did one thing, you would be able to resolve the problem almost overnight, and it's not fences. Not repositioning the military.
What are we talking about here, then?
Legalized drugs. Legalized drugs.
Yeah, but that'll never happen because the powers that be sell the drugs.
Of course. And they profit off it. But that is the answer. If you were to legalize drugs, then the hellish conditions that exist in these countries that push the people into this country to get away from what we have created south of us to be the drug supply line. If you were to legalize drugs, you would solve that problem. But, you know, that is never going to destroy us. Islam may. And it is a virus more deadly than Ebola, and we need to awaken Americans so that there is an outcry to separate ourselves from it, to quarantine it. These things are essential if we're going to survive as a nation. We'll be back with Shattering Myths after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We've also got Glenn on the line. I think, Glenn, also you wanted to make another comment on this connection between Islam and violence. My personal view is that there is no form of violence, savagery, terrorism that is more destructive than religiously inspired violence, because then the perpetrator becomes God. It's God encouraging them to be vicious.
Gotcha. Actually, I wanted to chime in on the halal thing.
Okay.
About the halal food certification. I think most Americans, you know, being secularly inclined or liberally inclined, mm-hmm. I don't much care about such things. It's viewed as, you know, merely a standard that is met that's inapplicable to their personal requirements. Certainly we have all the kosher certifications, the K, the Circle K, the U, and the Circled U, and whether or not something is PARV and can be eaten with meat and dairy. There are innumerable food items in the U.S. that, you know, are, you know, produced to meet such a standard, and there are innumerable certifying organizations. You know,
and,
just,
and
you
by
know,
the way, I won't eat. I will not buy. I will not eat kosher food. Won't eat it.
You probably
do.
And do you check every package you buy for that telltale K, circle K, or circled U from
there's a difference between marketing something and putting a big halal brand, so it's the single biggest thing on the front of the box, and then not explaining what halal is because most Americans are unaware of halal. And most Americans are aware of what kosher means. So kosher wouldn't be misleading as halal is. But beyond that, if it's a small little K on the side, I don't really give a hoot. If it's being marketed as religious food, then I won't buy it. I won't do it because I don't want to endorse a religion. And I most certainly don't want to buy food that is marketed by the world's most terroristic religion.
So each year at the Passover, you know, I would think that you'd be buying some of the kosher grape juice and matzahs appear on the shelves.
I buy regular red wine, because I can assure you that Yosha did not drink kosher wine, and I look for unyeasted bread. That is not kosher sponsored, and to do that you have to read labels, and so I read labels and I really despise religious anything. I don't like religious apparel. I don't like religious behavior. I don't like religious preaching. I don't like religious food. In the case of this halal experience, the thing that I despise the most is, A, its association with a religion that demonizes women, that abuses women in mass. I mean, that women have no rights in Islam, and yet women are the preponderance of the customers of these supermarkets. And number two, that they don't identify halal with Islam, and 99% of Americans, if I were to say what's halal food, they wouldn't know.
Well, we've come full circle back to codependence and, facilitation.
Yes, we have.
That's where we started, and instead of being back where, with one woman and one man, we're back to women and an entire religion, codependence and victimized and in denial.
Correct.
Can I add something here?
You bet.
I think one of the reasons you asked earlier, you said, why is it nobody speaking up? You know, you got a football guy that punches his fiance and, but yet you've got people openly, slaughtering other people in the most heinous ways. And, and we're funding them. Okay.
That's where we are. We're equipping them. We're arming them.
I think one of the big reasons, besides the media, is that Americans are by and large Christian or agnostic, and
more agnostic now than Christian.
Okay, but they've been trained not to attack others' religions, to be inclusive.
Yeah, that's not because of their Christianity; it's because of political correctness. And so, most Americans, you and I are older. And so we were not nearly as subject to political correctness and the indoctrination of it as were our children and those that are under 30. But those that are under 30 were indoctrinated into an educational system and a media culture where being judgmental, for exercising good judgment, was considered the ultimate sin. So you're right. That's the problem. The Americans under the age of 30 have been indoctrinated to the point where they're no longer capable of exercising good judgment. So they don't connect Islam and terrorism. They don't connect halal food and Islam. They don't connect Islam and domestic abuse. They don't connect Islam and genital mutilation.
By the way, have you ever seen how they create this halal food? It's very abusive.
Oh, of course. You know, it's amazing on the package.
These animals to no end. I mean, they should be arrested right on the spot for what they do there.
Yeah, the package, you read the back of the package, and it does never associates halal with Islam. It said this is a 400-year tradition of treating animals in a humane way and of being sensitive to the environment. And yet, nothing could be further than the truth. I mean, we finally got the Prophet of Doom site back up and came back up yesterday. And the Little Green Book is now part of the site as it was previously. The Little Green Book is authored by the Ayatollah Khomeini. And it prescribes how Muslims are to engage in bestiality. It has all sorts of teachings on the proper way to engage in bestiality. Animals
surprised me. There was Yalda was telling me that some imam came out and talked about the appropriate way to rape another man when he's your captive.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
How far to
you know? You look at your wife.
Got to that.
Yeah, your wife is
religious edicts.
Yeah, your wife is Persian. So what the Shias and Persia did. Because what they found is that the Zoroastrians, which was the national religion of Persia before the Islamic assault,
came in there and killed most dogs.
Yeah, dogs happened to be revered, loved by Zoroastrians, just as dogs are loved and revered in our culture here in America. And so what the Shia Muslims did, because Muhammad hated dogs, he constantly would torture dogs. They made a national policy of torturing dogs. And one of the problems that American troops have when they go and to a place like Afghanistan is they not only watch the sexual abuse of young boys and the total abuse of women, but they also watch the Muslims torture dogs. They'll torture any animal that they have control over.
I can't stand back and watch that kind of shit.
I can't either. I can't either. That's the mentality of Islam. And yet on this package, it talks about the humane treatment of animals. Nothing can be further from the truth. As a matter of fact, in truth, in Islam, women are declared animals. Muhammad and the Quran specifically declare that a woman is an animal to be abused and to be used as men so desire. And yet the package talks about ethical and humane treatment of animals and makes no association with Islam. It's revolting.
Well,
Safran Road is the name of the company.
Before, Lucifer's name isn't Lucifer. Satan's name is Halal Ben Shakar. It could be pronounced Halal or Halal. Either way you do it.
Right.
And that food is saying consume evil. I mean, it's probably not going to kill you, but it's going to kill your soul. And that's what's going on there. That's it.
Yeah, Satan is, recognizes that creation, humankind, are extraordinarily easy to manipulate and mislead. And his entire goal is not just to dissuade humankind so that they choose to worship him as if he were God, Allahu Akbar, but also to humiliate and debase men and to show God, who enjoys the company of men and women, how stupid his creation is.
At least he enjoys the company of thousands.
Yes, that's correct.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, that's true. And the covenant. Mm-hmm. But so Halal bin Shakar, Satan, has been focused on debasing men, of showing God how stupid his creation is. And so when he created Islam, Satan managed to model this mythical God Allah after his own persona. He even shows Allah spending all of his time in hell torturing people.
Yeah.
And then he named that which was pure and perfect in Islam after himself, Halal, realizing that mankind would be way too stupid, way too ignorant to make the connection. You look at Pauline Christianity. Satan was so in our face that he had in his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul admit that he was demon-possessed.
Yeah, just as Muhammad did in his last speech.
Yeah, yeah, Muhammad also, in his first public declaration and in his last public declaration, admitted that he was demon-possessed. And Satan is just mocking God. He says, yeah, so you like these people. Why? Look how stupid they are. I can tell them that I created this religion, that I am this, the inspiration for the religion, and they'll think that the religion is worshiping you. And yet, they have turned me into God. It's mockery. It's to have a halal product on a market in a country that isn't under the yoke of Islam is a complete and utter disgrace. It's they're mocking us. Satan is mocking us. It is pathetic how easily people are misled. You're going to find it again tomorrow. The President of the United States is going to disassociate Islam from the Islamic State. He won't say Islamic State, and he'll say that we're not at war with Islam, while he sides with Shia Muslims, which means Iran, against Sunni Muslims. It's astonishing. But he and he will come up with a plan to use American weapons to destroy American weapons, and everyone will yawn.
Just bizarre. The whole thing is bizarre. It's bizarre anybody could even believe it. And perhaps Halal is correct. People are just stupid. That's it.
Yes. Yeah. He's been playing people for fools for thousands of years. And what he has found is that it's easy to fool most of the people most of the time. We'll be back with Shattering Myths in our concluding segment after this final commercial break. Yeah, welcome back to Shattering Myths. In the last segment, we were talking about the fact that Satan has been able to play most people for fools through religion, people the world over believe that there are three Abrahamic religions and that Judaism, Islam, and Christianity are all Abrahamic religions, and they all speak of the same God. Rather than three Abrahamic religions, I would actually say there are none. Abraham didn't have
a religion. I would agree. Yahweh never set up a religion. He never has anything nice to say about the clerics. No. Yahusha railed against them.
Yes, as a matter of fact, if the Torah was a religious book, you would think that you would have a Hebrew word for religion, wouldn't you?
Yeah, there,
there isn't really one. There isn't a Hebrew word for religion. Now, God's not fond of religion. And Abraham had no faith. He had no religion whatsoever. And the presentation of the story of Abraham vis-a-vis the covenant in Christianity and in Islam is completely contorted. In Islam, of course, because Muhammad was dumb as a stone, dumb as the God that he promoted to the supreme deity of the Islamic religion, he couldn't decide if it was Ishmael or Yishak that was the basis of the covenant. He had no clue, so he presents them both as the sacrificial victim, totally and completely confused. And he has Abraham presented as he is in the Talmud, being in Babylon and deciding to smash all of the idols except the biggest one. And then if you look at Christianity, Pauline Christianity associates the covenant with Hagar. And therefore with Ishmael, and says that the covenant was, that the Torah's covenant was not with Yishak. But, you know, I was reading this morning as I was doing my exercise, that portion of Bereshith, and I can tell you for certain that Yahweh said unequivocally, no, I'm not going to form a covenant relationship with Ishmael. You're going to disassociate with him. And my covenant is going to be with Yishak, which was Abraham's son through Sarah. So Pauline Christianity says the opposite of the Torah, and yet Christians believe that it's an Abrahamic religion. How can that be?
It couldn't be.
No. I mean, it's like me saying that George Washington endorsed the Shattering Myths program, and that I have a caricature of George Washington, and I present it that has absolutely no basis whatsoever with the actual historical figure, all to create the illusion that he was a proponent of this program. And people would laugh and say, come on, that's just nonsense. Well, that's like the Quranic presentation of Abraham. It bears no resemblance whatsoever to the actual individual and the covenant, and yet says that that their religion is based upon his relationship with Allah. It's so laughable that you wonder how anyone ever believes it. And, you know, just get to the core of it. Why would someone believe that God was going to reward them with paradise if they go off and murder people?
You know, when I start sharing Yahweh's words with people, and that's what he called them. He didn't call them a Bible or scripture or any of this.
No, Dabar. He refers to them as Dabar. Sometimes Imra, which means his promises. Sometimes Torah, which means his teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, he uses Dabar, which means Dabarim, which would be words.
Yeah, when I start sharing these, at first people are saying, what do you mean there's no worship? Because I call it worship. I really
do. Yeah.
And you know, when you get to the bottom line, people that really look at his words say, I had no idea.
Yeah, no
idea. You know, the people that honestly look, they say they had no idea. They think he is a religious deity. Yahweh says not to associate him with any religious imagery, with any of this nonsense. He says don't imitate these people in any way.
Yeah, the second instruction that's on the first of those two tablets, where it's been truncated to say don't make a graven image, it's actually an edict against religion. It says, you know, don't go to any environment where there's religious imagery. Don't step foot in it. Don't speak on behalf of or do things on behalf of religious deities. Don't in any way, shape, or form be religious. Don't bow down in front of them. Don't worship them. Don't serve them. Don't even be seen in the proximity of religious imagery. No. There's not one time, is there, Larry, where Yahweh says, I want you to worship me.
No, he says exactly the opposite.
You're right. We'll be back tomorrow.